This is Rising Up with Sonali, and I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. Our radio show is heard on Pacifica stations nationwide, and our TV show can be viewed on Free Speech TV and on our website. A Senate committee approved the nomination of Oklahoma Attorney General Scott Pruitt to head the Environmental Protection Agency on Thursday. Overriding a Democratic boycott of the vote, Republican senators changed the rules of confirmation and pushed Pruitt's nomination through to the full Senate for a vote. Pruitt had sued the EPA over a dozen times to block climate and pollution-related rules. Meanwhile, in more bad news for the planet, the man who until recently was the CEO of the world's largest fossil fuel corporation, ExxonMobil, has been confirmed as U.S. Secretary of State, largely along party lines. Rex Tillerson faced the largest opposition as a Secretary of State has ever faced in a confirmation vote in the Senate. My guest is Lindsay Maiman. She is the U.S. Communications Coordinator at 350.org. Welcome to the program, Lindsay.
Thank you for having me.
So first, let's talk about Scott Pruitt. I mentioned Attorney General for the state of Oklahoma. And it seemed as though he had his sights set on undermining the very agency that he is now likely going to lead if the GOP has its way in the Senate. What does that mean to you? What will it represent for the EPA to be headed by a person who pretty much questioned its legitimacy?
Scott Pruitt has built his career around attempting to delegitimize the EPA, the very agency that he would be running as EPA administrator. He has sued the EPA over 14 times, usually defending polluters. And so in this position, he would certainly bring a legacy of corruption to the EPA. As Oklahoma Attorney General, he allowed fossil fuel executives to draft the actual comment letters that he then word for word pasted on his own letterhead. So he was truly a stenographer for the industry itself. And in his delegitimizing of the EPA, he has fought EPA regulations on smog and airborne mercury pollution while doing absolutely nothing to address the fact that more than 100,000 children in Oklahoma have asthma.
So here is an attorney general who let down the children of his state, and now he has a potential to let down the children of the country. What sort of questioning did he undergo in his Senate committee confirmation hearing? I understand, of course, that all the Senate members of the particular committee in question have the chance to ask him what sort of leader he would be at the EPA. Were his answers troubling?
Absolutely. Scott Pruitt avoided any direct answer around the importance of climate change. He actually said that his position on climate change would be immaterial to his role as EPA administrator. So you really see the disconnect between the importance of the greatest crisis of our time and this man who has spent his career fighting environmental regulations to be in this position. And so recognizing that he has shaped his career around delegitimizing the very agency he would be running and has defended polluters throughout his career, it's incredibly troubling that Scott Pruitt, a puppet of the fossil fuel industry, would be our next EPA administrator.
Now, what do you mean by a puppet of the fossil fuel industry? Can you point to specific examples? I know that Senator Sheldon Whitehouse on the Senate committee has actually attempted to point out the ways in which Scott Pruitt is problematic.
Yes. So as I mentioned, as Oklahoma Attorney General, he worked with fossil fuel related companies who actually drafted letters that he then took word for word to put on his own letterhead. So when I say puppet of the fossil fuel industry, he's truly used their words to defend, in attempts to make arguments from his own office.
And ABC News is actually put out an article showing that they reviewed records that found Pruitt repeatedly accepted donations from companies within days of taking official actions that supported those companies. So basically, he's just shown himself to be in the pocket of corporate America, but in particular, fossil fuel dominated corporate America.
Yes, exactly.
So let's talk about our new and what we would expect with the EPA under Scott Pruitt. I mean, now that he has to lead the agency that he denounced and attempted to delegitimize, what sort of an EPA head could he be? Would he basically go about pulling the EPA back from its own mandate of protecting the public? It's the Environmental Protection Agency. It's supposed to enforce laws meant to protect the public health. Will he simply defund the organization or pull it back or reduce its staff? How is he going to act as EPA head given his background?
That's a great question. And I think it's fair to say that as EPA administrator, he would certainly prioritize the fossil fuel industry and big corporations at the expense of our climate and our communities. So while it's difficult to say exactly what we can anticipate, I can say that we should be anticipating him ratcheting back in hard-won environmental protections that have really served as a bulwark between polluters and our communities who are bearing the brunt of the climate crisis. Mm-hmm. And just to say, Scott Pruitt can attempt to ratchet back regulations, but we know that the transition to a renewable energy economy is unstoppable.
Well, let's hope it is. Let's talk about internationally what's at stake with Secretary of State Rex Tillerson. And it's kind of appalling that he now has that title straight up with the confirmation hearing by the full Senate. He was able to, you know, basically overcome any of the objections by Democratic senators. There was a vote largely along party lines. And he got the most no votes for any Secretary of State nominee in the Senate's history. But of course, because the Republicans have a majority in the Senate and in the House, they were able to just vote and push it through. With this level of opposition, what does it mean for the ExxonMobil CEO, a guy who's been working at Exxon since 1975 and up until last year was its CEO? How is he going to be Secretary of State?
That's a great question, and I could talk for a while about this, but I think what is important to start with is what you so correctly pointed out, that the nomination of Rex Tillerson, the recent former CEO of ExxonMobil, was the single most controversial and highly opposed nomination for Secretary of State in our country's history. No Secretary of State nominee has ever received more than 13 no's. And the count here was actually 43 no's. So to say that the opposition and resistance against this oil mogul as our next Secretary of State is strong and will only continue. And as you mentioned, Rex Tillerson actually has never worked anywhere besides ExxonMobil. So as Secretary of State, he's given us little reason to believe that he would implement policy that would actually prioritize the American people. We would expect him rather to prioritize Exxon and its fossil fuel ilk. And so we'll be ready to hold him accountable.
Right. I mean, he's been working at one company, the largest fossil fuel company in the world, for over 40 years. Started out as an engineer, ended up as CEO. He seems to be as qualified for his position as our own president is for his, which is to say completely unqualified. Now, one of the things that is extremely troubling, particularly on the international level, are his close relations with Vladimir Putin. Setting aside any sort of fears around Russia's interference with U.S. democracy, Russia is a major oil player on the world stage. his company had major dealings with Russia. How are we to expect going forward, you know, these two countries now, the U.S. and Russia, to, for example, respect the Paris Accord?
That's a great question. The complications that this presents are truly endless. And it seems that every day we're finding out more controversial information about Rex Tillerson's ties to Russia. And before the U.S. put sanctions on Russia, ExxonMobil actually had a multi-million deal with the country to ratchet up their gas exploration in the country. And it's telling that now as Secretary of State, he would possibly have the agency to lift those sanctions. And something that I would like to point out is that just the day before Rex Tillerson's confirmation, ExxonMobil posted its worst profits in almost 30 years with 9 straight quarters of plummeting profits. So with Tillerson as CEO, during that time, Exxon's profits plummeted 80%. So this presents something very clear that contrary to the claims of even senators that eventually voted against his nomination, Tillerson in fact left ExxonMobil in far worse shape than when he came into power. And so it's troubling to think what kind of shape he would leave the United States as Secretary of State. And this is incredibly troubling. Also, just within 24 hours of his nomination, in a pre-dawn vote, which literally never saw the light of day, the Senate repealed an anti-corruption act that helped prevent oil companies from bribing foreign governments.
Are you talking about Section 1504 of the Dodd-Frank essentially Reform Act?
I'm forgetting the exact name right now.
This is, I understand. So Section 1504 was a bipartisan amendment that required drilling and mining companies to disclose any payments they make to foreign governments. And before he was Secretary of State, Tillerson was trying to overturn this law, lobbying the government. He argued that forcing U.S. oil firms to reveal corporate secrets, such as paying foreign governments, would put them at a competitive disadvantage. And he explained that it would be difficult for Exxon to do business in Russia. And so now you're saying that it's happened. This has been repealed.
Yes, indeed. It's really all come full circle. Thank you for filling in the information there. Yes, it's all of these dots are incredibly connected. It's troubling to think about what Tillerson will do in his position as Secretary of State. And it's important to note that he became the CEO of a company that, as far back as the 1970s, was actually at the forefront of climate science research. And so in the 1970s, possibly earlier, Exxon's own scientists warned the company's executives about the dangers of fossil fuel use on our climate and our communities. But instead of heeding those warnings, Exxon's executives chose to pour a tremendous amount of resources into sowing deception about climate change and blocking climate action at every level. So the only reason that we have been faced with this phony debate for the last decades, for my entire life, is because of the likes of Exxon and Rex Tillerson knowingly lying and perpetuating the climate crisis. And so the company is currently under investigation by the attorneys general of Massachusetts and New York, as well as the Securities and Exchange Commission.
So essentially, we can thank Exxon for starting the climate denial movement about 40 years ago, around when Rex Tillerson himself began working for the company. He probably personally involved. And there's a massive campaign since those documents came to light. Exxon knew is what it's being called. So now that very person is our Secretary of State. Now, being Secretary of State is a diplomatic position, right? I mean, this is what Hillary Clinton did. This was the highest level of government she attained was as Secretary of State after years of working in government. Here's a man who's never worked in government, who is now heading the State Department, which oversees and, you know, is the diplomatic face of the United States to the world. What do you expect this person to do? I mean, are we to expect him advancing oil interests through U.S. foreign policy worldwide? I mean, we started, you know, under Bush, we saw wars for oil, such as the war in Iraq. And in fact, Trump even very troublingly said we should have taken Iraq's oil while we could. Maybe we'll have another chance.
Yes, it's incredibly troubling. And I think that we can anticipate Rex Tillerson as the former CEO of the world's largest and most deceitful oil company, prioritizing the interests of big oil at the expense of our climate and our communities. And it was incredibly interesting at the January 11th hearing, committee hearing, to see Rex Tillerson attempt to dance around his ties to all that Exxon knew. So in the weeks and months to come, we will certainly be prepared to hold him accountable for what we anticipate to be foreign policy of, by, and for Exxon.
It's just mind-boggling to see how these things are shaping up. Lindsay, so between Scott Pruitt and Rex Tillerson, we're going to see both domestic and foreign policy realigned in favor of fossil fuel interests. I mean, is this why Trump voters supported this president? I mean, is this what they want? Short of draining the swamp, Trump has actually filled it to bursting point with the very people that are the kinds of people that he promised to get rid of from Washington. I mean, after all, how can we expect a billionaire to look out for the little guy? Billionaire is going to look out for billionaires.
Yeah, Trump has truly stacked his cabinet with the ultimate swamp monsters, corrupt fossil fuel billionaires across the board. And what I think is important to note is that the fossil fuel industry has long held power within our economy and over our democracy. And now the only thing that is, you know, truly visibly different is that they are actually running the government itself rather than funding or lobbying politicians. They actually are the government itself.
So lest we end this conversation on a very depressing note, Lindsay, let's finally talk about what people can do. And I should also mention after our break, our next story is going to be focusing on our children's trust, to the group of kids that are suing the government over climate change. We'll be speaking with their lead counsel. What can ordinary people do? Because one of the things that we have learned over the last couple of weeks, in addition to Trump basically running roughshod over the entire country, is that the country is pushing back. And we've seen just absolutely inspiring levels of mass resistance, you know, from people who have never been politicized. For those who are listening, who are angry, what can they do?
That's a great question. And I think, as you correctly pointed out, Trump and his corrupt cabinet are trying to divide us. They're trying to put us up against each other. But what they haven't realized is the incredible amount of energy that they are injecting into the public to fight back and come together in that fight. And so while there are, you know, a lot of scary things happening, there are plenty of reasons to be hopeful. And a big reason is that we are all coming together to fight for the future that we know is possible. And so between now and the next few months, there are going to be tons of opportunities to get involved, to come together with your communities in resistance. One thing that is happening is a People's Climate March on April 29th in Washington, D.C., where we will be marching for jobs, justice, and climate, and the renewable energy revolution that we know is unstoppable.
Well, we will post information about that on our website. And of course, 350.org is also where people can go directly to find out about your organization. I want to thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
Lindsay Maimon is the U.S. Communications Coordinator at 350.org. This is Rising Up with Sonali. I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. You can find our interviews online at risingupwithsonali.com and also subscribe to our podcast on iTunes.